John. I've enjoyed my study through 2 John. I always enjoy studying the Word of God. I am particularly enjoy studying the smaller books, but I do enjoy studying all the Bible. These shorter epistles, these shorter writings kind of give me more of a focus because of the brevity of them. That's just a preference. And I've enjoyed 2nd, 3rd John talking about the truth. Truth is so important, isn't it? Now, when I speak of truth, I want to clarify something. I'm not talking about what I think is truth. I'm not even speaking of what you think is truth. I'm speaking of truth. God's truth. And we all need to line up with God's truth. Brother Charlie, it's good to see you. I just saw you back there. Good to see you, Brother Charlie. Amen. I'm sorry for interrupting that, but I just saw Brother Charlie. It's so good to have Brother Charlie in our service tonight. We pray for you, and I'm glad you're here tonight. If you recall, there was a few things, and I just want to bring these, I guess, back to your attention. We talked about living in the truth, and I do. I want to live in the truth. I just don't want to know the truth. I want to live in the truth. And John brought that up here in 2 John. He said in the latter part of verse number 1, he said, "But also all they that have known the truth." You know, if you know the truth, you can live in the truth. You can't live in the truth if you don't know the truth, right? But now, if you've known the truth, you can live in the truth that you know. And so every one of us, that ought to be a desire. It ought to be a priority of ours. I want to live in the truth. I'm not interested in anything less or short of the truth. Now, we all have preferences, and sometimes they are lined up with what we consider truth, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it is. I prefer, when I'm preaching, I prefer a shirt, tie, and coat. And if a man's going to stand in this pulpit and preach, I want him to have a shirt, tie, and coat on. I can't turn to a scripture and show that. I can't show that. But that's a preference. And I think that it's important what you wear. And so I kind of preface it on that I think, you know, that you ought to look a certain way. If you're going to be presenting the gospel, if at all possible, you ought to have your best. Now, I can't prove that in the scripture, and that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. You know, we have to be cautious. Sometimes you hear things and you think, well, that's the truth. Well, is it? I mean, you know, is it? And so we need to really live the truth, all right? And so he said in verse 1, we are united by truth. All of they, look at it in verse 1, all they that have known the truth, all they, right? It unites us. The truth is what ought to unite us, is what John is saying. And then in verse number 2, he said, not only does truth unite us, but it dwells in us. He said, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us. Hey, when you get saved, God gives you truth through the Spirit of truth, but also the Word of truth, right? So you have truth. Thank God for that. I thank God for truth. There was a day I lived in deception and lies. I was blind to the truth. I thank God that I have been awakened. I have been made aware of the truth. Brethren, I'm in the know. Amen. I know what's going on. And if you're saved, you do too. I know where this thing's headed. I even know how it's going to wrap up. And I know where I'm going. I don't walk around with my head in the clouds wondering what's going to happen and how's this thing going to wind down and what's going to be the final say and who's got the final say. I don't worry about any of those things. I know the truth. And I thank God for that. The truth dwells in me. And then he said in verse number 3, he said, truth blesses you. He said, grace be with you and mercy and peace, you see. How? He said in the latter part of verse number 3, in truth and love. God blesses you with the truth that you are a recipient. You are an object of God's blessing. The eye of God's on your life. that I have God's on my life. And God has indwelt me with truth, and he blesses me through me knowing the truth. The truth sets me free. The truth teaches me. The truth guides me. It ought to. Amen. The truth. And so, and then in verse number 4, if you'll remember, we said it controls us. He said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in what? Truth. It's just basically saying you're walking. The truth is determining how you walk. And so truth controls. It navigates. And I'm thankful for that. The truth is so strong in our lives that it ought to be controlling how we walk, how we live, how we behave, right? Now, it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you just believe in something. Well, that's not so. What you believe is a direct, listen to me now, it is a direct connotation to how you're going to behave. Belief determines behavior. And so we need to know the truth. Why? So we can walk in the truth. You know, he said in verse 1, you know it. And then in verse 4, he talked about people walking in it. You've got to know it to walk in it. Right? And so it's important. Truth. And I'm glad we have it, aren't you? I'm glad I have the truth. Praise God for the truth. Amen. Now, he moves from living in the truth to loving in the truth. And I want you to notice what he says in verse number 5. He said, I beseech thee, lady. And he's writing to a lady here. And he doesn't give her a name. I think it's a real lady who is not a picture of the church. I believe this lady possibly had a church in her home. I know she had children, and I believe that John, he refers in verse number 13 to her elect sister. And so I believe it's a good lady who maybe opened her home up for a church, which is the way the early church met. Many people still met in homes in the first century church. And this lady was in some trouble. I believe that this lady had entertained, according to what I'm reading here, that she had entertained some people who were trying to maybe take advantage of her and lead her astray. And there will be people to try to lead you astray as a Christian. I sure hope you understand that. You have to keep your guard up. That's why it's important to know the truth. Because when you know the truth, you will expose error. But if you don't know the truth, you will be exposed to error. And you may fall into error. And so he said, lady, I appreciate you're a good lady. And you're trying to do what's right. And you're trying to steer your children right. And they're walking in truth. And I rejoice about that. He said, and you're wanting to love people. And you're wanting to be hospitable to people. And that's a good thing. He said, but now understand something. It's not wrong for love to have a standard. And I think sometimes this is where we kind of get mixed up. As we think, well, you know, when I'm full of God, I just love everything about everybody. No, that's not so. That's not so. And so let's see what he says here in verse number 5. He said, I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning. And here it is, that we love one another. He said, you know, you wanting to help people, you wanting to be hospitable, you loving people and wanting to reach out and to accommodate people, that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But now you have to be discerning and discriminating in the way you love. You can't just accept everybody in the name of love. You can't do it. You have to have some guidelines. Truth has guidelines. And so what he's saying here is I want you to know that by you wanting to help people, that's a great thing. You're following the commandment to love. By the way, if you'll look at what he says in verse number 5, he said, I wrote a new commandment unto thee. It's not as though I did, because I wrote a new, but that which we had from the beginning. God has always said that we are to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. Is that right? God's always said that. But now something changed. There's something new that God said, I want you to do. Now listen to me. He said, I want you to love the brethren. Now see, when Jesus came, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. As a matter of fact, John, this same John, and I won't turn there, but this same author in 1 John, He said, if you say you love God and you hate your brother, he said, the love of God's not in you. Are you listening? One of the ways that you could know that you pass from death unto life is because you love the brethren. You love Christians. That's brotherly love. And that's what John's writing here to her about. He said, now we've been given a commandment to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus reiterated that commandment in Matthew 22. And thy neighbor as thyself. But when the church was born, then Jesus said, you're to love the brethren in a special way. And there ought to be a special love in your heart for the people of God. And I believe there is. Isn't there? I know there is in my heart. I love the brethren. You don't have to be around a Christian long where you can just sense that kindred spirit. Am I right, brethren? You can just sense it. It's real. I mean, it's just real. And God gives that. Now, he gives it because we have a kindred spirit because we are a part of a family. And the Spirit of God that dwells in us, he sheds God's love abroad in our hearts so that we can love the brethren the way God loves the brethren. And God does love the brethren. God loves me. And God loves you too. Now, God loves the world. I understand that. But God, listen, when God looks down on you and me, he sees me different than he sees a sinner. You understand that. I hope you understand that. I was trying to preach this Sunday morning. God doesn't see me as the old sinner I used to be. God sees me in Christ. I'm in Christ, brethren. You are too if you're saved. So I hope you get a hold of that now. I hope you get a hold of that. My sin's been forgiven. You say, yeah, all that you did yesterday and all before. No, all of my sin's been forgiven. You say, well, I don't understand that. I don't either, but I shall receive it. Amen. I hope you understand that. Because when I was born, all of my sin was future anyway. You do understand that. Because Jesus died for me before the foundation of the world. And so you say, well, that's kind of over my head. God's over my head. I just take what he says. And it's truth, you see. I don't have to understand it for me to declare it as truth. I accept God's word as truth. And I believe you do too. And so he said, you need to walk in verse number 5. He said, we love one another. Now, why do we love one another? As brethren. Notice what he said in verse 6. He said, and this is love. Okay. He said, I'm not talking about this warm and fuzzy that the world has. And I hope that you understand that that's not what we're talking about when I say love. I'm talking about the love of God that knows no boundaries. The love of God that is unconditional. See, when I love God, and this is what God wants me to get a hold of. This is what I want you to get a hold of. When we love God now, God can teach us to love like God. But until I love God, I can't love like God. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, when this same author here, turn back just a page, I think it's depending on how large the print is in your Bible, 1 John 4, you know this verse by heart. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Now, what is he saying? He's saying God teaches you how to love the way he loves. You don't know how to love the way God loves. I didn't know how to love the way God loves before God saved me. When God saved me, he put his love in my heart. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, Paul said, listen, you don't have any need for me to write into you about brotherly love, for God himself has taught you how to love one another. God teaches us how to love the way he loves. You understand that, right? Not the way Hollywood loves. Not the way man loves. Not the way these love song artists write about love. No, that's not, listen, that's just a cheap love. He said, I want you to love with a pure love, a perfect love, an agape love, God's love. And so in 1 John 4:19, he said, we love him because he first loved us. He said in verse number 20, and here's what I was referring to earlier. He said, if any man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Right? And so as you go back to 2 John, as we turn back there, we're navigating through loving in the truth. We get so concerned about living the truth, and we should be. Living the truth. But God wants you to love in the truth too. He not only wants me to live in the truth, God wants me to love in the truth. See, as I walk in the truth, I'm walking like Jesus walked. And again, I hate to ask you to go back to 1 John. Well, I don't hate to, but I love to. If you'll go back to 1 John chapter number 2, look at verse number 6. He said, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Now, Jesus is the truth, and he walked in the truth. And as I live in the truth and walk in the truth, well, then I'm a good representation of who Jesus is. Not in name only. Not in name only. Some people they just grab that tag, don't they? They almost wear it like a button. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. Well, you know, just show people. It's okay to tell people. But if you really want to make an impact on somebody, just show them you're a Christian. Right? Yes. And so that's what John is speaking of as we go back to 2 John. When in verse number 5, when he said that we love one another, and he said, now this is love. He said, this is the kind of love I'm talking about. When I'm talking about us loving one another in verse 5, in verse 6 he said, and this is love. This kind of love right here. Not the kind of love that you learn from the world or you learn from the natural realm of things, but the spiritual love. All right? And he said, and this is love, verse number 6, that we walk after his commandments. See, truth and love go together. His commandments are truth. And when I get the truth in me, it teaches me how to love like the truth. And then I can love like God. And so when I get the truth in me, I love God. Because the more truth I get in me, the more I love God, who is the truth. Are you that way? Sure you are, whether you realize it or not. You have a little bit of truth, you're going to have a little bit of love. But I tell you right now, the more you know about God, the more you love him. And so the more truth I get in me, then the more pure my love can be, not only toward God, but now God's going to teach me to love the way he loves, and he'll help me love others the way he loves others. Not my kind of love. My kind of love's kind of, I don't know, it's conditional a lot of times. Shouldn't be, but it is. That's human love. Right? So I don't know if I want to admit that. Well, the sooner you admit it, the faster you're going to get some help. Amen? And so he says in verse number 6, he said, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. Do the truth. Do right. And then as we do right, as we do the truth will teach us how to love like the truth. You say, that sounds kind of like a puzzle. It's not a puzzle, it's truth. That'll help you to love the way God loves. Help me to love the way God loves. And that's what this book's about. The reason God saved me and left me here is so I could love the way he loves. God wants me to love people as if Jesus was still here loving people the way he loved them when he walked this earth. But we're little Christ. That's what the word Christians mean. We're little Christ. We're representatives of him. And so in his absence, he has sent his comforter, another comforter, to dwell in us as Christians so that we could love the way Jesus loved when he was here. I hope you understand that. Because if we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll have all these partialities, we'll have all this hypocrisy built up and all this Phariseeism built up in us, and we won't love the way God loves. We'll place conditions and we'll say, well, you know what, I'll love them if they love me. Well, that's not what the Bible says at all. And there has to be some discretion, and there has to be some discernment about love. And so he said here in verse number 6, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that ye have heard from the beginning. You should walk in it. Do the truth. And walk in love. Ephesians 5, verse number 1 says, and verse number 2 says, we're to walk in love as Christ did. Let's turn there, Ephesians 5, and I'll show you. Most of you probably know what I'm talking about, but I want us to see it. Because we're to walk in love. But now, please don't take that as, well, I'm to walk in love, so I just turn a deaf ear and a blind eye to people's sin. That's not what walking in love is at all. God doesn't turn a deaf ear and a blind eye to sin. And so if I'm to love like God, that includes not only comforting people and helping people when they're down. Listen, when you get down as your pastor, I'll give you a promise. If I know about it and I'm in any position to do so, I'm going to come try to help you up because I care about you. As Christians, we ought to do that for one another, brethren. Galatians 6:1 teaches this, okay? So does James chapter 5. When you see a brother in trouble, now listen to me, and he's down and he's needing some help up, you ought to go help him up. Don't be like that priest and Levite. Don't pass him by now, right? See, that's biblical love. Biblical love. That's what we need. Biblical love changes lives. It does. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, notice what Paul wrote to the church. He said in verse number 1, "And be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." What do you mean followers of God? Do the truth. Right? Walk in his commandments. That's what John's been saying. What happens, Paul? Look at verse number 2. "And walk in love." See, when you keep his commandments, you're going to walk in love. Not just toward God, but toward others. So am I. "Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." All right, you see? And so it goes together. It does. The more truth I know, the more I love. The less truth I know, the more I love like me instead of like God. And so I need to stay in the book. I need to stay in the commandments. I need to keep God's word. I need to walk in truth so I can love like truth is loving like God loves. You do too. And that's what John is telling this lady here. He said, look, I appreciate you. I appreciate you wanting to show hospitality and help others. That's a good thing. It's a commendable thing. He said, but now understand something. Love needs some discretion. Love has some, well, discernment. You just can't embrace everyone. You have to examine some things, and now he's going to switch gears on us, okay? But before he did, I like the way John handled it. He said, you know, you're doing a good thing. You are, lady. You're doing a good thing. You're rearing up those little children to walk in truth. That's a good thing. You want to love like God loved. That's a good thing. He said, but I just want to tweak your love a little bit. I want you to understand something. You just can't open up your arms and doors to everyone now. You've got to be a little discretionary. You have to understand that some people will take advantage of you. Some people will try to lead you down the wrong road. And so he switches gears here a little bit. And here's what he says in verse number 7. He said, for. In other words, he said, the reason I'm telling you this is to warn you. He said, there are many deceivers that are entering into the world. This is a very interesting phrase here. This phrase, when you take, and I don't want to get into all the, you know, the Greek and the structure of a sentence, but what John is saying here, they've entered into the world from the church. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. John alluded to this earlier. If you'll go back just for a moment, and I can't tell you how many preachers through the years I've heard take these scripture out of context, and just because somebody didn't agree with them on a point, they say, well, you know, they left us because they were not of us. Okay. So if I don't agree with you, I'm not saved. Is that what you're saying? Come on. Really? That's not what this scripture means at all. 1 John, are you there? Chapter 2. Look at verse number. We'll just go right to the verse number 19. Now, he's talking about Antichrist. And he's in verse number 15, 16, 17, 18, he's saying, listen, we're living in a bad time. People loving the world. Don't you love the world now? Don't get caught up in that kind of love. Are you listening? He said, don't get caught up in that kind of love. Don't love the world. Neither things that are of the world. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father. That's of the world. He said, that's not the right kind of love. That's not the kind of love I'm talking about. And he said, because of the lust, because of people's covetousness, because of people wanting to not accept the truth and do it their way instead of God's way. Now they've gone against the teaching of Christ. And he said in verse number 18, he said, well, they become antichrist. They stand against the truth. Who Christ is the truth, and so they're anti-truth, they're anti-Christ, and they don't want to have anything to do with the truth about Christ. And John gets into this a little, we'll get to this here in just a moment, back in 2 John. He said this, he said, you beware of somebody, and he does this often, the scripture does this often, you beware of someone who is wrong on Jesus. Are you listening? I may be wrong on some things when it comes to eschatology, the second coming. I don't think I am. But now don't you get things wrong about Jesus. He's the virgin born, only begotten Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He was, listen, it's not that he was God. He is God. I get nervous when somebody starts talking about, well, Jesus was God. No, wait a minute. Well, Jesus is God. He always has been. And so this thing of getting it wrong on Jesus, and that's what was happening here. Just look, if you would, in chapter 5, look at 1 John. I'm coming back to that verse number 19 of chapter 2. He said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Chapter 5, 1 John, verse 1. Verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1 John. And everyone that loveth him, that begatteth him, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Look in chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And he said, hereby know ye that the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God, he said, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every person that'll tell you that Jesus is God in the flesh, that's of God. But when someone starts telling you, oh, well, no, Jesus is not equal to God. Uh-oh. I see where this is headed. You listening? Whether you realize it or not, there's a big movement going on in our world, in particular in our country. You know, just a bunch of smart people, no more than God. It's sad. And they're saying, well, you know what? As long as a man tries, as long as he's just seeking after God, God is so merciful. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, listen to me now, no man, I don't care how sincere you are, I want everyone to be saved. As a matter of fact, I was sitting at my desk earlier tonight, this evening, and I just thought, you know what, it's a shame. I know I'm going to take a little trail here just for a moment. I'm coming back. Isn't it a shame that we have more resources today? Now listen to me. Social media, internet. We have more resources to get the gospel out today than we've ever had. And God spoke to my heart about this and said, what you going to do about it? We need to get more involved as a church in getting the gospel out through all the avenues that have been made available to us in this technological age. You say, I don't understand it. Young people, listen to me. We're getting ready to put you to work. You know more about this stuff than I'll ever know. I'll be dead and in heaven. Listen, I won't be dead. I'll be left this world and in heaven. But the torch is going to be passed to you. You have what it takes to reach this next generation in some areas that I will never be able to reach them, nor will people my age, nor will my generation. Take the torch. We have more resources than we've ever had. But the devil, listen to me now, the devil has confused the church more than I've ever seen her confused. The church doesn't even know what she believes anymore. The church is arguing and bickering over little small things that they're trying to get people saved. Things that don't even matter. And we laugh about it as preachers a lot of times when we get together. Well, I don't. Preachers do. I have laughed at it, though. I'm not saying I'm above it. There's churches splitting over what color the carpet is. There's churches splitting over what type of music. Well, that song, that had this or that had that. Listen, I believe there ought to be a standard in music. Listen to me. I believe there ought to be a standard in dress. But you don't have to agree on every little minute detail for the church not to split. Say amen with me now. That's ridiculous. You've got your priorities mixed up. Now, I'm not saying you. I mean the church of the living God has got her priorities mixed up. God has opened many, 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 many doors. He promised he would. In Revelation chapter number 3, when he spoke to the church of Philadelphia, he said, I've opened up a door that no man can shut. Look at the door that's open, brethren. Look at all the avenues that we have to get the gospel out. Our churches have more money than they've ever had. And there's fewer laborers than there've ever been per capita. And we're just confused about what the message is. The message is Jesus saves, brethren. Let me just clear it up in case anybody at Fellowship Baptist Church has a problem. I don't think you do, but in case we have a problem with the message of this preacher and this church is, the message of Fellowship Baptist Church is first and foremost, Jesus saves old sinners, amen. We need to get that message. That's not the only message, but I want to tell you, it's the primary message. It's the most important message. If we don't ever get any other message out, let's get that one out. Because Calvary covers it all, amen. And I was just sitting there thinking, my goodness, we've been duped at such a time as this when we could be getting the gospel out in so many avenues. We're twiddling our thumbs, arguing and fighting over things that mean at the end of the day and in light of eternity means nothing. God help us. All right, now. I'm coming back. And so he said in chapter 2, he said, look at verse number 19. He said, this thing about Jesus is important. He said, don't you miss it when it comes to this thing about Jesus now. Don't you miss it. You might miss it on should I wear a tie behind the pulpit or not. You might miss it on should there be a percussion instrument. And I'm not saying we're going to get drums, but a percussion instrument in a song or not. Listen to me now. You might miss it on should the glasses be wood frame or wire frame. You might miss it on some things when it comes to the more what we would consider lighter things of what the operation of the church is. But don't you miss it on the person of Jesus Christ now. The Bible says over and over again. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read this and then I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 1 with me. But look what Jesus or what John said. In verse number 19 of 1 John chapter 2. They went out from us. Now this is not over what a lady wears. Now listen to me now. I've heard people just get way off here. This is not about should you wear makeup or not. This is not about, you know, should a man wear cuffs or straight or classic wear. This is about your belief in the doctrine of Christology. Is Jesus God in the flesh? And the answer unequivocally is absolutely. Not because this preacher said so, but because this book says so. And you will not go to heaven until you accept Jesus as the Christ, the Savior of the world. Doesn't matter how well-intended a person is, doesn't matter how soft their heart is, doesn't matter how much they're seeking. If you've never repented of your sin and asked Jesus to be your Savior, you will not go to heaven. And that just breaks my heart that we have these resources and there's yet so many people without Christ. We could do more and we need to do more. And he said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction, verse 20 of the Holy One. Now what's he saying? When you go back to 2 John, we're going to get to Galatians in a moment, and then I'm going to close for tonight. In 2 John, John said, "Now you know, there's many deceivers gone out that have entered into the world. Where'd they enter into the world from? The church. Can I tell you, there's more false religions that have come from the church than are outside the church. Do you understand that? I hope that you do. There are people that are polluting the truth. Some of you are going to get offended at me, I think. I hope not. Buddhists are not polluting the truth. They just don't know the truth. Hinduism, they're not polluting the truth. They don't know the truth. They're ignorant of the truth. There's a big difference. False teachers have come out. You look at all these faith healers and these prosperity gospel people. Peter told us why. Peter told us why there are many false teachers. The word many, when false teachers are mentioned in the scripture, look at 2 John verse number 7. Peter does it. So many of the apostles do it. Paul did it. There's many deceivers that are entered into the world from the church. That is inferred. What are they saying, John? He said, well, they're confessing not that Jesus is Christ or that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. We don't believe that preacher down there. We believe like this, but and so they just splinter off, and they splinter off, and they splinter off, and they splinter off. Got a bunch of false teachers running around teaching false doctrine. And so you need to keep your radar up. All right? They speak great swelling words. Peter said that they get people to follow their 2 Peter chapter 2, their pernicious ways, and they make merchandise out of people. It's a serious thing. And so that's why the devil, there's more than one reason the devil doesn't want you studying your Bible and praying. It's so that your radar won't be up, so that when you hear error, you go, ching, something not right there. There's something not right there. And you have to listen carefully now. Jesus said it himself. He said, these teachers, he said, if it wasn't for the grace of God, they'd fool even the very elect. Now, these are some slick-talking somebodies. They're deceivers. All right? Let's close with this. So, what are you saying, John? John is saying this. Look, you need to live in the truth. And you need to love in the truth. But as you do that now, you've got to be loyal to the truth. You can't allow these people right here. He goes on to say it in verse number 9. I won't get into it tonight, but this one we'll pick up, the Lord willing, next week. Verse 9 and 10, he said, and in verse 11, he said, when these people come by and they want to talk to you, when these people come in your church and they want a platform, he said, don't you bid them Godspeed. Don't you bid them Godspeed. Which simply means don't you even greet them. Look it up. That's what it means. Don't even greet them. Don't give them the time of day. They're there for one reason, one reason only. And that is to deceive you and to bring you down and try to pull you away from the truth. But you stay in the truth. You say, well, I'm busy and I don't have time. You need to take time. Never be too busy to know more of the truth. As a matter of fact, one of the things that John did, I really like this. He said, look if you would in verse number 12. He said, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink. But I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. He said, there's so much to learn about this walk with Jesus. So much. And he said, I could just keep on writing. He said, but I want to come talk to you in person. I want to sit down with you and let's just kind of talk about the goodness of God and the truth that we are a part of. Kind of like what we're doing right here, amen? There's nothing like talking about the truth and knowing I'm in the truth. I'm not in some cult, or I'm not in some shallow following some way of man, some shallow teaching. I'm glad I have the truth. I'm following this, and I believe you are too. But now I want to tell you, fewer and fewer people are turning to this as truth. I said I wanted to close with Galatians, and I want you to turn to Galatians 1. This is how serious God is about the truth. Sometimes I wonder if any of us, I know we all love truth. You wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't love truth. You know I'm going to preach the Bible to the best of my ability. As God is my helper, I don't have much ability. I don't. And you say, well, you're just saying that. Yeah, I am just saying it because it's so. I don't have much ability. But I'll tell you this. I have a helper. And he is the Spirit of truth. And he helps me with truth. And he tells me that's truth. And that's what I want my life to be governed by. And I know you do as well. Well, the Apostle Paul, I think, was a very compassionate man. He said, the love of Christ constraineth us. The Apostle Paul suffered many things for the cause of Christ, for the kingdom of God. He did. He suffered many things. Why did you do that, Paul? Paul was jealous over the church. He said that. He said, I'm jealous over you, to the church at Corinth. He was jealous of the gospel. And here's what he said in Galatians chapter 1. I mean, listen, I don't know when's the last time you've read the book of Galatians, but if you haven't read it recently, it's about a 20-minute read, maybe 25. And Paul really scorned these people, and he said, oh, my. He called them foolish Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians. Who hath bewitched you? He said, I just can't believe that you're so easily removed from the truth. Are you in chapter 1? He said in verse number 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. You didn't got to believe in something else. Somebody done some slick talking, law preaching, somebody who left the disciples, somebody who didn't want to be anything, have anything to do with the truth, and come and preached another gospel to you. And he said, you are removed. You're listening to this. You're listening to this. They didn't have blogs and podcasts and social media then, but we do. And so many Bible-believing Christians are listening to that garbage. And it's forming an errant view of the truth. It's chipping away at the standard of the truth that has been set in your mind and in your heart and in your life through personal Bible study of the truth and hearing Bible truth preached. And he said, you're being removed. Look at verse number 7. He said, really, which is not another, because there is no other gospel. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. I'm going to tell you, that's some strong language right there. You know what that word accursed is? Anathema. Let him be cut off. He will die and go to hell. Look it up. That's some strong language, brother. Amen. I mean, that's strong. Just in case somebody, as they were reading this letter, said, whoa, I hope he's got something nice to say in the next line. He said in verse number 9, as we said before, so say I again, if any man preach another gospel, any other gospel unto you, than that you have received, let him be accursed. That's some strong language, isn't it? But that's how serious God is about the truth. Now, God's serious about the truth, brother. And I believe you are now. I want you to know, I'm not preaching this because I think the Fellowship Baptist Church is not serious about truth. I'm preaching it because I know that our enemy is serious about deviating us from the truth. He's serious about sowing tares among the wheat. He's serious about perverting what we believe and trying to pull us away through these smooth-talking individuals. I mean, they sound good. They're slick. And many of them will tell you what you want to hear to get your attention instead of what you need to hear to get your heart. And so may God help us be loyal to the truth. All right? I'm going to ask you if you would just stand for a moment. So as John was writing this epistle, what I see in this epistle is he said, listen, I want you to live in the truth. It's very important. Then he said, I want you to love in the truth. Don't love this shallow. You know, love does comfort. Love does help. But love also confronts now. Love corrects. God loves me, and therefore he corrects me. Right? That's what Scripture teaches. Right? And then he says, so live in the truth, love in the truth. And then he said, be loyal to the truth. Don't accept nothing else. Give your loyalty to the truth, not to a man, not to a movement, but to the truth. Be loyal to the truth above everything else. All right? Let's pray. Father, I've preached the message you've laid on my heart, and I want to thank you for challenging me in this matter of the truth. And I pray that you would challenge this body of believers in this matter of being loyal to the truth, loving the truth, living in the truth, loving others in truth the way you love us in truth. Teach us, God, in these areas of our lives. Though the epistle is brief, 2 John has been a blessing, and I thank you for it. Thank you for putting it in your word and allowing us to have it that we could study it and learn from it. And I pray you'd help us to continue to do so. Our hearts are still before you, and I ask you, Lord, in these moments of quietness now, that you would challenge us on our position on the truth. Is it a priority? Are we seeking it? Would we accept anything besides the truth?